So, as we mentioned, right, we have a few more things, major things to deal with in Bishalako. So last time we dealt with the question of who and where, but we, as we already saw in Tosfot, the major issue is going to be the issue of how much involvement the Jew needs. So again, the simple pshat is what? Right? That the Gemara distinguishes between Bishul, where you need intense Jewish involvement, and Pat, where you need minimal Jewish involvement. How do we know? Because the Gemara literally in two consecutive lines, right? We'll remind you and catch Kobe up, right? Right, good. So you tell me, right? So the Gemara had a very specific, right? It has two consecutive lines where it distinguishes, right? What does it say?
By Bishul, they need a Jew would need to flip.
Very good, right? By Bishul, the Gemara says, Bein she'niach o'vikachom v'hafach Yisrael. Bein she'niach Yisrael v'hafach o'vikachom mutar. Right? It's whether the Jew turns it over or the, right? But, and then the immediately next line is, Ravina says that rifta, by bread, the shagra v'chom v'hafach Yisrael, right? If the non-Jew, right, like, lights the oven up and the Jew bakes it, or vice versa, that's enough. Meaning, it's minimal involvement, meaning he's not even involved in the cooking process. He's involved in lighting the flame.
Right.
Right? Involved in lighting the flame, which implies
that there are different standards.
Which implies that low standard of lighting the flame
applies
only to Pat and not Bishul, because, you know, it's not like this appears in two different Masechta and you have to, like, bridge them. The Gemara has it in two consecutive lines, and it seems to be contrasting them. Tosvot notes this, and Tosvot says, that's true, but we don't paskin like the Gemara. We paskin like the minhag of Bavel in the Sefer. It's a Sefer in the Gonim of minhagim bain on bain Eretz Yisrael le Bavel. And in that, that's what's called. No, that's what it's actually called. Or minhage bain Bavel or chel, or minhage Bavel or something like that. Gonim. Yeah. Yeah, like it's very, very old. Yeah, it's like some going to collection of minhagim, right? And he writes that in there it says that the minhag of Bavel is to treat pot, to beat bushel like pot. And we so mech on them because we follow B'nei Bavel u'Talmudam, which is the weirdest line ever because it's B'nei Bavel against Talmudam. Yes. So this is very problematic. Very
problematic.
Very problematic.
Okay.
I understand. Or that's I don't know what to tell you, right? Now, the Mordechai then tests the limits of this already questionable heter of Tosfot. Okay? The Mordechai writes as follows. Umase baliyadi al tanur she'afu bo Yisrael shlosha pamim bayom. The following case came to me by baking. Right? By baking. They baked three times in the same day. V'chshiru tanur al yidei zrikat kisem. V'chol pam she'ofen ayuchozun lehezek hatanur. So each time, the Jew would throw a piece of wood into the fire, right? L'achshir u'bafiachrona lo achshiru atanur, right? But by the third time they didn't. V'reiti dafilu achi pat shenecha b'achrona muteret, and I said nevertheless it's permitted. D'chevan t'achshiru da b'shara seikot. Because they had lit the flame the earlier times, it must be that there was some coal that was there that was sort of still sort of working, sort of. Right? You know. Even though in the final baking the Jew threw nothing in.
This is in terms of
this is pas. This is bread. The zrikat akitzeim ain't a malav in a moredet b'toch ha'asik, because he said, look, throwing in a wood chip doesn't really help. right? And nevertheless, the Gemara says it's fine, which shows you that it's symbolic, right? We rely on it. Now, this is not really what the Gemara had said, right? Right? Because remember, the Gemara had said if it's lighting the fire versus putting it on, right? Lighting the fire is it. Right? Then in Bnei Bavel, right, when it came to pot, they were even more makil, that it doesn't even have to be like I effectively turn on the flame. I even have to like symbolically put something in the flame. So we're already more makil on that. And he says, we're so makil on pot, they even like, I didn't do anything, but there's probably like some coal left over from the previous one.
Well, couldn't that be considered lighting the flame? Because a lot of times when you have...
No, lighting the flame simply means like the flame.
No, but a lot of times when you have a flame,
but it's not that. It's not that. It's like there is a coal left over.
The coal joined in, and the warm coal joined in with the fire.
I will tell you what a modern version of this looked like. For a while, and I don't know if they still do this in Misa, the Star K said, yes, if the Jew just plugs in the light bulb, which adds, you know, a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of heat in the oven is fine forever. The light bulb in the oven. Like, you know, he plugs it in because, like, it adds, like, hey, you know, shema. I remember, like, an act told me this. He's like, the OU does not buy this. This is one of the machlokot between the OU and the Star K.
Okay, not even, I don't think I ever.
I don't know if they rely on it, Lemaisa, meaning this is a refinement theoretical business. I don't think they do an industrial kosher because of, right, because in general, the kosher organizations come up with policies they're all okay with, right? One second.
I don't know how the kosher.
No, you should rely on it. There's another point. But anyways, The Mordechai says, but really, it bothers me, so I didn't really, really want to be makel. He's like, I mean, I could justify it, but first of all, that's only by pot. It's just lowering the standard by pot from involvement, which we have by Bishul. Pot, we have, you know, turning on the flame, even though you're not involved in the cooking process at all, and now it's you're involved in the fire. Not even, I lit the fire.
Prior. I'm guessing that some...
Right, but one second. No, wait, but the Beit Yosef quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah. Lo yitein anachre machvat lo'esh afilu hishle yisrael eitz echad betanur. He says, Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, that doesn't work. Sheina tor nechshar b'hashlachara eitz. Elo v'rabat bovat. He said, that does work, but by bread. But it doesn't work by cooking. Right? So the Mechaber says, no, even if you want to be that makil by pot, and it's not clear you should be that makil by pot, but even if you're going to be that makil by pot, it's a halacha in pot, which we know is more makil.
Okay, cool. So one posek read the Gemara.
One second. And now, this is the problem. The problem is, right? But you have my Makara, right, that I printed out for you, no? No. It's the one I gave you all the way. I had printed out for you a long time ago, but I don't know where it is anymore. So I'm just using one on my computer. Yeah, overview, something of that. Overview, basic, something of that. You find them, Marty?
I had here, but then
Kobe was overzealous and cleaned my mucko of everything that was here. What?
He cleaned everything up, so I don't know it was there.
I didn't do this.
Oh.
I just assumed it was you, because you always did it.
I did it once before. Like,
oh. So someone was overzealous. This Gemara I found, like, someone was giving away, so I just keep it here so I don't have to bring my Gemara from Yeshiva. Anyways, now you found it? No? What? It's fine.
Anyways, so here's what you have here. If you read Halacha Vav and Halacha Zayin, Kol Shebishlu Yisrael Ma'ad Bishulo, Bein Betchila Ben Bezof Mutar. Anything that a Jew cooked a little bit in the beginning and the end is mutar. L'fichach v'niyach v'kachom basar k'teir al gabeish. So if the non-Jew put it on the fire, v'hafach Yisrael b'basar v'hegiz b'k'deira, and the Jew turned it over and stirred it, o'shegiz Yisrael v'gamar v'chovim, where the Jew stirred it and the non-Jew finished, harezem mutar, afil lo'im in basha v'losiyo v'kachovim. Right? even if it would have cooked, right? Even if it wouldn't have cooked without the non-Jew's contribution. Is that clear? That's definitely the heter in the Gemara. Yes? Yes? But then, halacha sif zayin. Ein shkirat atanur mo'elet el bapat. Lighting up the flame, meaning even turning on the flame itself, only works by bread. Avol bishara mitbashlim, ein shkirat atanur. V'load lakadesh ma'le umarid. Turning on the flame helps nishterol. The only thing that matters is halacha davka, putting it on the flame. Right? That's the only thing that matters.
Participation doesn't matter?
It does. That's what the standard of participation you need by Bishul. Is the Jew... No, by Bishul. Right? He says pot is lower, but right where you can suffice with turning on the flame. Right? But not by Bishul. The Fichach HaRotzeh... One second. Fichach HaRotzeh L'Vashel Machvat B'Tanah Shal Kochavim. So if you want to cook in a oven of the non-Jew, Tzarech She'yitin Yisrael Machvat L'Tokha Tanur. The Jew has to put the food in L'makom HaRoi L'Tbashel Bo, and not just anywhere. You have to put it far enough in that it could cook. Right? That's the Mechaber. Does all this seem make sense based on the Gemara? Now, this is where it gets trippy. The Ramah says, the Yesh Chalkin. Some say, Usvirlu, Tahadlokar Eish, Ochidu Kolam Mahani Linyan Bichel, Kamol Linyan Pat. First of all, we're Mekel, that turning on the flame, despite the fact that Gemara says not this way, it is this way. Right? That turning on the flame is enough. Rama. V'chei Noagin. And that's the Minog. Two, he says, remember the Shari Dura? Remember the crazy Shari Dura? That if a Jew, a non-Jew in the Jew's house cooks, it's mutter, chazaka, someone stirred the flame at some point. He says, well, what does that show? How much could he have stirred it? Below dot. It's chazaka, someone did without thinking. Two, afilu chitui below kavana mahanimol. Even a little bit of stirring without kavana works. And now the Ramah comes with his greatest chiddush based on the Isser Beheter, based on the Maharam, v'yesh omrim da afilu lochita Yisrael v'lo oishlich b'kisim. Even if the Jew didn't stir it and didn't even put in anything into the fire. Just the Jew had lit a flame, and the non-Jew lit a separate flame from his flame, and then made an entire other oven out of that. Shari, it's mutter. What we call Eish Me Eish. Now, what's the problem? As I told you, and this is what the Vajja I gave you last week is going crazy about, is that you have a Hechsher. It calls itself Mahadrin. Right, a Haredi Asher Ashkenazi says Mahadran, and they will use Eish Me'esh. They will have a Jew turn on the what does Eish Me'esh look like practically in most restaurants? That a Jew turns on the pilot light, right, which is right the right, and then for the rest of the next forever, the Jew is not involved at all. The non-Jew turns the oven on, turns it off, but it's lit in theory from that pilot light. That is all the way in the inner workings of this industrial-sized oven. That is what they rely on. You go to most restaurants in America, right? That is what happens. That only if the pilot light goes out, they call the mashgiach. But if the one second, I'm telling you, this is what they do. Uvda. This is not for bread. This is for everything. They put the pilot light on, and they only call the mashgiach. If the pilot light, this is Eish Me'esh, it's the Ramah. And this is the tshuva that I told you last week from Ravadja and Hein Nun Daled, where Ravadja goes ballistic. Now what I gave you was his tshuva. In his tshuva, he was civilized, right? But years ago, I found, I'd have to find it again, I found a public statement by Ravadja, where Ravadja was less civilized, where instead of just saying, because in his tshuva, what does he do?
Breaks it apart using the...
He says, okay, you could be mitzarif that, plus the fact that it's on Jewish turf, plus the fact that it's people who work for Jews, and you could be mitzarif the other shushit don't, and svardim can be the avad, davin, eat with Ashkenazim. right? Rachman al tzan, you can't daven, but can eat with Ashkenazim, right? In Ashkenazi restaurants, because it's Shas Atzchak, right? But in his public statement, he's like, but this is crazy. How can you call something Mahadran of an Ahadran when it's relying on this Kula, which is like, you've got to be kidding me, right? Now, the Aruch HaShulchan, Kidarko Bakodesh, I didn't give it to you, but I should have. But you can pull it up in Safari if you want, and or you could grab an Aruch HaShulchan, we have a bunch of copies there. You want to, right there, we have a whole shelf of them. You can just grab your idea, right? Kuf Yud Gimel. There's multiple you can get for everybody. Fine. You don't want to get up. So if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, here, Kobe, just share with Mordechai, right? I just want to show you how much space he delivered, right? Because the Aruch HaShulchan, right? One of the things that's, you know, as we know about the Aruch HaShulchan methodologically, is that he insists on going back to the sugya, right? So look how much space he, right, devotes to this. He starts with at Lamed. You see Lamed? Yeah, you can. It's easier to see it visually there, right? In the hard one, right? You see Lamed? Kuf Yud Gimel Lamed, right? See? Right, so Kuf Yud Gimel Lamed, he says, Iser Shlakot Eino Elek Shaloha Yisrael Shum Chelek Ba Bishul. Right, the Iser of Bishul Akum is only where the Jew has no involvement in the cooking. Avgzaylo Eizer Chelek Mutar. But if he's involved at all, it's fine. Keta, Kigon Shiniach Akum and Abasar Al Eish. Oh, Samu Abasar Bikdeir Viniach Akdeir Al Eish. Oh, not the Midad Rav Eizer Avahafach and Abasar, blah, 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 right?
113:30,
yes? Yes. Right, so first he summarizes it, right? Then if you look at Lamed Aleph, I'm going to be running through that. I'm not reading it all inside. Right? Lamed Aleph. Vidas Zheshkot Vafilo in below Siwa Akum Loayim et Bashel Mutar. And he says, that which we said, that even if without the Akum it wouldn't be cooked, right? Lefi Divrei Ramah B'Zivvav Shkot Vchein V'kol Mefar Zohar Atasru Olav Shazeu Neged Hashas. He said, that's based on the Ramah. But, as everyone points out, he does not exactly pull his punches. That is against the Gemara.
Are we in your idea?
Yes.
Okay.
The Mefurasham, the Imekra Bishul Hidea Akum, Asur. Right? So you could look, and you look at the Shach and Taz, they'll all discuss it. But the Aruch HaShulchan's a nice summary. He says, everyone notes, this is against the Gemara. Right? The Mefurasham, the Imekra Bishul Hidea Akum, Asur. Vididchu. And some therefore reject him completely. I just want to show you how much he has to bend over backwards to defend this Rama. To me, it's as clear as the sun. I remember the first time I read this, I'm like, wow, you are. Wow. What? No, but also, like, wow. The amount of intellectual energy he puts into defending the basically indefensible. He says, Ita b'gemara. The Gemara says, Omar Shmuel Hanach Yisrael al Basar Gavik Chalim. Uva Akom Vivikho Yisrael. Umwater Umasik Demai below Hippoch. I am at Basho Vishesha Odexavchu. Yidbaucha Acha at the below Hippoch. Lo I am at Basho Klal Osir. Right? The Gemara says explicitly, unlike the Ramah. Explicitly. Right? Because it says, what's the Chiddush? That if the non-Jew makes it speed up to an hour, and it would have cooked in 2 hours, so that doesn't make it usher. What does that imply? Right? That implies that if the non-Jew speeds up the cooking process, it's fine. The kiruve bishule lo miltehi. Because the Gemara says that speeding up cooking is not significant. Right? That's why everyone assumes the Ramah is wrong, because the Gemara says, yes, if he sped up the cooking, it's fine. If he cooked it, it's not fine, right? Yeah, that would be fine, right? The Hebrew, right? So he says, and then after this question, Omari Bayalu Haniach Akum Hivach Israel. Then the Gemara asked the question about the Jew put it on, the non-Jew put it on, and the Jew flipped it over. Omer Rabbi Yom Yitzchak Kavach Omer Gamer Biad Akum Mutter Gamer Biad Yisrael Kolshkin. If the non-Jew finishes, it's still mutter as long as the Jew started Kavach Omer the other direction. It Ranami Omer Rabbi Yochum Enchiniach Akum Bibach Yisrael Beijing Yisrael Vehibach Akum Mutter Veino Asar Shet Chilat of a Gamer Biad Akum. Right then, the Gemara introduces the rule of it's only if the Jew starts and finishes, and then the Gemara brings the halacha of bread. Right, that there, even if the non-Jew turned on the flame, it's enough. Yes. 33. Skip down. Uperishu Rajba Ran Verivash. Deheter de Deshkira Taner Ein Elu Bepat. Right. The Rajba Ran Rivash say very explicitly that this is only turning on the flame only works by bread. Velo Betavshel. Vehochrochu Lekach. Sharei Bivishulam Omer Mikodem Mifurash. Dimlo Hipochshel Akum Loyem Bashel Klal Aser. How do they know that this is not true of cooking? Because the previous line said if it wouldn't have cooked without the non-Jew. It is usur. If that's the case, how could it possibly mutter just because the Jew turned on the flame? Who cares? Right? We just said that if the non-Jew, without the non-Jew, it wouldn't cook at all, it's usur. But if the Jew turned on the flame, but the food wasn't there, then, surprise, having an oven on and never putting the food in the oven doesn't cook the food. I know this is shocking to all of you. This is shocking. I know. I know. So he says, Elavade de Ragabada kiloishulum avakasha lidim ken lama kavashas mimrazubikan. So now what does he do? He takes what was a weakness to a strength. Because we said, how do we know that the Gemara does not apply the same principle by cooking? Because the Gemara has two consecutive lines and it says one thing in one place and one in the other. The Aruch HaShulchan says, you know what the Ramah must have thought? The exact opposite, which is, the MK Avakasha Ledam Kane Lama Kavash Azmain Razubikan. But if Bishul and Pot were an equivalent for these purposes, so why are they next to each other? Hilka Mashal is led you to Lamadi Dina Kodem Lonavoch Valonavochu. Aha! Flip it around. Boom. Proof. Right? That they're the same. That's why it's here. Lamedalid. V'od hikshu b'may de gomar ran bi kava chomer gom v'yakum v'ter gom v'yadisholo kol shekein. And he says, furthermore, what is this kava chomer? Right? That if the non-Jew finished it, it's mutter. If the Jew finishes it, kol shekein. He says, adrabo. It's the opposite is true. Right? Mikodim t'kruvei b'shal lav milti. Because we already said that making it cook faster is not important. So why should the Jew make it cook faster be enough to remove the non-Jew's involvement, right? That should be more mechudash, not less. Correct, but still. Right. Right. It should be that if the non-Jew speeds it up, it becomes mutter. Then if the Jew speeds it up, that's meaningless, right? Because if both are meaningless, then both are meaningless, right? Love milti, the terrors of the vada gruvishal milti. He said you must hold that making things cook faster is important. Vizesh osir mikodem the love milti. That what it says, it's nothing. Kolomar bishum kula de bishul yakum love milti. It doesn't mean it's not significant. It is. It's just a special kula and bishul akum. That even though making something cook faster is significant, we take the kulas of both. That if a Jew speeds it up, it becomes mutter. If a non-Jew speeds it up, it doesn't become usir. Which is another way of saying it's mutter and it's mutter. Right? Mitam zeh. Vitamahani. Dimibnei zeh lama lo lomar de la milti. He said that doesn't make sense because then it shouldn't say it's nothing. It should have said it's something and we're mekil. Right? His answer to this? Tzarachi and Gadol. I don't know. I don't know what you want from me. 35. Next paragraph. Me name did write us about Rashi Mordechai Mavur lehed yedachti in the Ravina who bein bepat bein betavshil the kol shegain the gear said I sheltered the gar's elkach said the Rishon the Chachma Ashkenaz say that the same is true of bread and he says the truth is that there's at least a gear in the shilta that supports them because it does have a word that links them and that is hilkach therefore if you have therefore between the cooking line and the baking line then in fact they are connected so he says maybe this is motivated. Which means that lamaskana, what? Bread and cooking are the same. Right? Because cooking is also because of. Well, he said, what's the logic? They're both because of chatnut. Right? Pot is only more makil because they didn't accept it as much. And therefore he says, this allows us to explain the Ramah. So 36, next paragraph. Where the Gemara has a case that if the Jew put it on the flames, and before it could be cooked a third, he took it off and put it in a basket. And then the non-Jew took it from the basket and roasted it. Usur. Mishum shlakot. It's usur because of bishlakot. The Ava gav shayil Yisrael chelek b'tchila bishul. That's even though the Jew was involved in the earlier parts of cooking. Because it made it batel. Right now, this makes sense that when you put the meat on the coals, and then you take the meat off to flip it over, he said, isn't that always what happens when you flip a burger? For momentarily, what have you done? Removed it completely, and so then shouldn't it be usher, right? If the non-Jew flips it when it's only 10% cooked, because it's like him taking it off the flame and putting it back on, right?
He took it off, but he didn't take it away from the heat.
So he says, "V'zem b'furish b'shelto v'zel shem ram sarach elu yisrael sheniach bazar gavichalim v'akuti v'avich v'amau hechad ilo aveyapich bei v'asher lo kumi bar lan devade azar davle kiman shalka misal v'acht egumre." So the fact that the Gemara thinks that it's okay if he flips it, that forces us to reassess the whole sugya. What that shows is that your assessment is wrong. The only thing that matters is, was the Jew involved in any way, symbolic or otherwise? It doesn't matter if it would have cooked without him. It doesn't matter anything. Doesn't matter. No. And therefore, if that's the case, that we don't really care about whether it would have cooked without you, then all the Jew cooks it, of course it's going to be fine. Because if it's okay when the non-Jew flips it, which is the equivalent of him taking it off the flame, why is it mutter? Now watch his chiddush. No, because the Jew turned on the flame. Right? He said, why is it mutter? You thought that it was mutter because the Jew started cooking and the non-Jew continued, but the Jew started. He said, that's not true. The Jew didn't do it because the non-Jew flipped it when it was only 10% done, which is the equivalent of taking away from the flame. So why was it mutter? What was the Jew's involvement? Oh, that's the source. He's like, that's the source from flipping a burger, which is conceptually the same as removing it from the flame, which means that what made it mutter was the Jewish flame. But without that, it wouldn't be mutter. What's his conclusion? And with that, the whole sugya works like the Ramah kibin chomer. It's like clay, right? We molded it. It's perfect. The Ramah is right. Now, that is, to be fair, an amazingly impressive moment of, I will be honest, not super compelling creative reading of the sugya. Okay. It's not so bad, but I'm not like 100% convinced, but okay. Right? Right? So he says, what you see from here, and then he goes on to spell into the whole sugya, that it is mutter, and he goes on to spell it out. Okay? Now, skip all the way down. Right now he goes on to prove this whole thing. Go down to Memdalin. So, right now he's just bent over backwards to prove that the Ramah is obviously correct. Yes? Then in Memdalin he quotes, V'lzel l'shon Rabbeinu Ramah, V'yesh cholkim sirat d'halakara eish ochidim cholam mahani linyan bishol kamol linyan vat. Right? So we've just proven this, and he proved it and proved it and proved it more, yeah? That the same things that work by pot work by bishul. Right? V'hine zeshe kotav dadlako chito imahani zeo mekra dina gemara. He said the fact that lighting the flame or stirring it is mutter is from the Gemara. Right? Stirring is literally from the Gemara. And the fact that the Jew lighting the flame is enough, according to his Kiddush, is beferish in the Gemara from flipping a burger. Yeah? Kemo shibarnu. Rak ma'ad ha'mashim zorim digam ha'shlachat kise mahani. Now, what I wanted to point was this. The Aruch HaShulchan just spent a tremendous amount of intellectual energy to defend what was seemingly indefensible. Now he gets to Ish Me'ish. And the Aruch HaShulchan, who remember, bent over backwards, beyond backwards, to defend the Rama as the only way you could ever read the Sugya. This is what he has to say about Ish Me'ish. He needs to go to Adlak O'chit V'hani V'zeikra Adin Gemara. Fine. But rak by the mashmi dvar of that which is implied the amashlachat kizim, that throwing in a little piece of wood mahani zeu lav midin gemara, that's not from the Gemara. Elamim and hagim sheish ben benevav l'eretz Yisrael, that extension I cannot defend. That is only from the minhagim of Bnei Bavel, right? The Tosos quotes kamash kodav Tosos. And once you have that head there, we expand it yet again and say you don't even need to throw something in. Rad lakabeish shel Yisrael shari. So basically, cooking's like pot. Pot is mekil. So we should invent new kulot and then carry the kulot over from pot, which are not obvious in pot, and carry it over from pot to bishul.
Fascinating.
Kamochem mekan. And remember, this was the Aruch HaShulchan that bent over backwards and said the Ramah was the only way of reading the Sugya. This is his conclusion about Eish Meish. Avo be'emet hid kulot gidolot ve'ein roi lismoch al zeh. These are very radical kulot, and one should not rely on them. Rak b'sharat chak uve'it Yisrael. Only if it's sharat chak and it's in the Jewish house, because then you have the other shita to rely on from Tosvot. Right? Right, and the Shari Dura, right? Then you have the Tosfot and the Shari Dura, and that's what you should do. So you understand, even the Aruch HaShulchan, who bends over backwards to say that the Ramah, which seems to go against the Gemara, is not just, you know, not against the Gemara, but is the obvious problem in the Gemara. When he gets to Eish Me'eish, he's like, that is not exactly defensible, but if it's Shazat Chak, and you do it in your house, right? And therefore you have the Shari Dura and Toitzvahs and that.
Essentially what you're saying is if you saw a Jewish restaurant doing it in Brooklyn, you would have
Right. So what's the problem? The problem is that if you go into your standing Jewish restaurants in Brooklyn or in, for a long time, it's not as true anymore, I think, but for a long time in Eretz Yisrael, right, they relied on Eish Me'eish. Right? And that was Rabbi Ovadia went crazy. He's like, really? You're Mahadran and Mahadran? And you're relying on that? That. Like that heter. Eish Me'eish. In Bishul. Do you understand? Are you listening? You're calling this Mahadran. The Aruch HaShulchan is like, maybe the Ramah is defensible in the Jewish home. Bitzer of other Shitot. Bis Shas Atchak. If you're willing to paskin against the Gemara. Like the Minhage Bavel. If you're willing to accept everything I just said. Then fine. No, this kula, right? So this is why I said that this is one of the major problems in Bishul Akum is that it is pretty standard. Like I said, right? There are people who then expand it beyond and say, yeah, you don't even need a pilot light; you need a light bulb, right?
Right.
Did I put it on? What? Was to rely on the throwing in of the piece of wood. We expand it. Yes, that's not even in the Minhag Bavel. This is an expansion of the Yisra Heter from the Minhag Bavel, which is against the Gemara. Okay. So it's a little bit problematic, shtickle. Yeah. Okay, good. But that is the question of what counts as a malum. Like I said, right? Like, let's see if I can find this. Star Bishol Akum. So I can find it.
Legitimate historical question.
How did the Ramon get so accepted in this regard? If every time I'm hearing him, at least... One second. Let me see if I can find it. And I quote, I'm going to read you, okay? From the Star K's official Kashrus thing, okay? Would a light bulb or glow plug that was turned on by Yehudi and was burning continuously qualify for Bishul Yisrael? The light bulb in an oven. Yeah, but it adds, theoretically, a minuscule amount of heat, right? They write, this is from Rabbi Heinemann, the minimum halacha requirement for Bishul Yisrael is hashlachat kiseh. It literally, to throw in a small wood chip into the fire, which, as we saw, is not obvious. Any minor action that contributes heat to the cooking would qualify for Bishul. If the oven would be hot-wired, so that a bulb or a glow bar could be placed into the oven cavity, turned on by the Yehudi and left on permanently, the additional heat given off by the light bulb or glow plug, which is considered fire, would more than qualify for Ashlachat Kisem and would fulfill the requirements of Bishul Akum. Next question. If the oven was lit by Yehudi, was subsequently turned off but remained warm, until being relit by an Akum, would the Bishul Yisrael status of the oven be nullified? Answer. As long as the oven remains warm, the Bishul Yisrael status is intact.
It's like the Mordechai with slightly less
shade. Wait, you turn off the light bulb and then non-Jew turn it back on?
Yes, but as long as it didn't cool down, it's fine.
How does that?
And pilot light. Wow. If a pilot light is burning continuously, how long can it remain lit without Yehudi intervention and still be considered Bishul Yisrael? Answer, if the pilot is directly heating the stove or the pot, the old style pilot lights of a guest oven, the light can burn indefinitely and still remain Bishul Yisrael status. If the pilot light indirectly lights the burner but does not add heat to the food, the old style electric central pilot of the gas oven, then halacha authority needs to be consulted to determine if the burner needs to be lit each time, even the first time, Yehudi, even though the pilot light, so it depends on the pilot light, right? But the point is that, right, what's the point? That this is basically, this is when you go into things, this is what people rely on. It's an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of a kula that comes from something that doesn't appear in the Gemara.
Where can I eat in Brooklyn? I can't eat anywhere.
Well, is this something
to... No, I'm just telling you, but this is why things are so complicated, right? Because this kula is...
I'd be willing to accept the Ramah, and if you accept Tosa, it's like fine. Like,
you know.
What?
Is pizza
pasta
dish?
No. Okay. Let's see. We still have 10 minutes, so we can probably get through one more heter. Okay. Let's very quickly do the question of Nechal Chai, because, you know, it's not so complicated, right? So I just want to give you a little bit. So we talked about Nechal Chai, right? Right. The Gemara says Nechal Chai. Right, this is quoted in Lehalacha. This is not, right, a surprise. Right, this is accepted Lehalacha. This is a totally, right? If you look in Shulchan Aruch, it's Simin Aleph, Bet, and Gimel. Right, if something is Nechal Chai, it's fine. This is not controversial, right? What things are Nechal Chai for sure? Let's do this very, very quickly. Fruit, sure, an apple, or a baked apple, right, would be a great example. An apple is totally edible raw, so if you make a baked apple, no shum sheila pa'ola, right? No problem at all, right? Same would be true of most vegetables, right? It'd be fine. Exactly, right? Where do things get complicated? And again, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but where do things get complicated? Well, good, right? So that's the major question in modern psak. Very good. Is things that for a long time nobody ate raw, very good. Is the big question that modern poskim have been asking is how much has, because in the Gemara, fish is assumed to be something that is cooked, correct? That's only cooked, right? Therefore, Rabbi Ganach wrote already years ago that fish nowadays might have changed because the prevalence of sushi is such that most fish really is Nechal Chai, right? It was one thing when it was right, a delicacy, right? Or it was eaten in the Far East. But nowadays, it's pretty standard.
Also, lox.
Lox is smoked. Yeah. Smoked salmon. That's what it is. No, but sushi, right?
Yeah, but it's whatever.
Right? So, right. So this is really the major, right? So just know, right? Like, that's the major question that I know of, right? Like, most things are not, usually people aren't asking Nechel Chai questions, right? The question when they do ask Nechel Chai is fish, right? Otherwise, most things are pretty obvious, right? Like, most things you know, like potato, what? Cheese is Nechel Chai. What are you talking about? Right? But, like, a potato? No, they're edible chai completely. You have them on, you know, people don't bite into an onion, but you have it on a hamburger. You take a slice of it. Right, when we get the sandwiches on Sunday from Holy Bagel, they give us a thing of cut up onion. So the Gemara wasn't normal. You said shahakal on it, right? But it was edible. You did eat it, right? They does talked about eating it. Right. So that is right. So that's not really a conceptually hard thing, right? There are certain things on the border, like fish, right? The other major one, which is harder, is Olal Shulchan Melachim. Okay, so here, you know what, I could probably do this in 5 minutes, okay? Olal Shulchan Melachim, we could spend forever on this, but there are two basic understandings in Poskim. Okay? What is, right, so Olal Shulchan Melachim doesn't literally mean that the king has to eat it. Right? But what does it mean? So here there are two basic approaches. I gave it to you here from a jachter who summarizes it. The Chazon Ish says that it doesn't really mean it's eaten by a king. What it means is it's not poor quality food. And therefore, the Chazon Ish's famous psak was, this is literally how it's quoted everywhere I've seen it, is even the king of England eats sardines for breakfast. That's how it goes, right? Is sardines may not be what you would serve at a state dinner, but doesn't matter, right? What it means is that something that's not low class, right? And if someone is high class and would eat it, even if not in his fancy meals, that's already Olal Shulchan Melachim.
Diana took the points to McDonald's.
Fine, and this seems to be the position of the Aruch HaShulchan. However, right, Rav Schwab notes that many Rosh Yeshiva would have sardines cooked by non-Jews. Why? So Rabbi Soloveitchik, and this is the position of the OU, paskins that it means food that would be served at a state dinner. Right, not Olal Shulchan Melachim, like the table of kings, but the kingly table. Right, this is the generally accepted position amongst, from what I gather, many kosher organizations. I'll read you here. The Star K also follows the OU, and they call it the White House state dinner policy. Right, is the Star K asked the White House executive chef what the White House banquet policy is regarding the use of canned products for state dinners, right? This is their context in terms of can, right? The context was canned goods, right? So they said, they asked the White House, and a specific question was, what is the policy regarding canned cranberry sauce? We also asked whether potato chips are served at the state dinner. The chef's response was as follows. We would serve whatever the guest wants. However, we never serve potato chips, nor do we ever use canned goods. Everything is prepared fresh. So note one, even though the White House never used canned foods, if the food was first cooked before the canning process, then at this time that is perfectly fit for use as a state dinner, and the subsequent canning process does not remove it, right? Right, so meaning if you make it and then you just happen to can it, right? Rather than like certain things. Correct. And two, the product is disqualified due to Bishlakum, the utensils are also considered not kosher, etc. Right, so the OU, the Star K, right, have the subjective standard, right? I have the White House standard, right? Now they also note, and this everyone notes, that at some level, right, these are very subjective, right? It depends on it's culture dependent, right? And therefore, they say, like in the U.S., they think potato chips probably aren't where. You could have a place, right, where if they have fish and chips and they use chips, right, and they would have it at a fancy meal, then it would be.
Isn't most food not like in most restaurants?
No. Most things are.
Standard is the lighthouse is very fancy food.
Not necessarily. Right, just, no, if you make it fancier, but it's the same food, that's not all ultra
If you read any autobiography of someone who
right.
has had to go through the
like a burger.
They tell you the food at the White House is awful. Yes.
Okay. Now, just a technical thing. This is an interesting question is rice. So they know that it depends. Raw rice is subject to Bishalakum, but when you buy parboiled rice, like one-minute rice, it's already half-cooked already. Right?
It's cooked with pre-shred.
Right. So that, he says, they're not subject to Bishalakum. Right? That's Bishalakum the Star K. Okay, so that's a little bit of Olo from Malachem. Do you want to take one more share and talk a little bit about industrial kashrus? Which is, like, not now, like next time. Sure. Talk a little bit about industrial. Sure. It's a little bit more complicated.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So we'll do one more, and then we'll finish with Bishalakum. We'll move on to pas. Okay? We'll move to bread. Yeah?
It's just applying everything that we've learned.
No, pas is its own kula, remember? But it has other important kula, like pat falter.